Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep all deep. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday.
Well, it sure is a Blue Monday. We've gone from America First to what? Is this still America First? Is this what we elected him for? This is what I worked for a year and a half for, to have Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton take over our foreign policy. You know, on Friday, I did a heartfelt show as usual, but this one was particularly heartfelt. I called what Trump did in Syria a military tweet, not a strategic move. I asked, has he even thought about what follows his limp-wristed firing of some missiles at some runway? All I had to do was look at who was supporting him. All the people who hated Donald Trump, all the psychopaths, McCain, Lindsey Graham, the War Party, the psychos who fought him every step of the way were suddenly saluting him, glowing over the limp-wristed missile attack. And I said to you, what does this tell you? It tells you that the Soros globalist cabal took over the Trump administration and that he's now doing their bidding. And I asked you, how is this an America First decision to engage in a civil war between two enemies of the United States of America? I also made an appeal to you. I said to you, it is not too late to awaken President Trump to his disastrous error. It's not so much the missile attack, which was minor. It was the psychological switch from what he was to what he became in only a period of a few days. That's the real problem here. Now, there are rumors abound as to why this happened, which I think you all know, and I don't have to go into it all over again. The best article on this whole subject about my position was in Breitbart over the weekend. Michael Savage says Syria is a no-win situation for America by Colin Medine. It's about the best review of what my position is. This individual got everything that I said, and got it just right. So let me read you some of the headlines, highlights of that article in a moment. But I also want to tell you what else is going to be occurring on today's show. And I'm going to ask you some questions. Do you approve or disapprove of Trump's Syria action? Do you want further action? Do you want war with Russia? And finally, I'm going to make it very simple. You know, I'm working on my God book. I'm going to take one caller a day over the next number of days and weeks. And whoever answers this question best and gets on the show with it will win a gift book. I want your proof that God exists. But it has to be really good. Don't tell me you saw Jesus in a raindrop. What is your proof that God exists? If it's good enough to get on the radio and I put it in the God book, you win a prize, okay? But getting back to this disastrous change in this jingoism that we're seeing, it's based purely on yellow journalism. You say, well, what's yellow journalism? What Trump did was based on yellow journalism. I blame the media for having rushed Trump into this disastrous turnabout in his policy. All we heard was the jingoism over and over and over again. Well, study what yellow journalism is and the origins of it. And you will see that William Randolph Hearst used fake news to start a war back in the 1890s. We all heard about fake news, right? It's gone up and down through American history. But there happened to have been a golden age of fake news, known as yellow journalism, back in the 1890s, when fake news was so bad that it helped start a war. Well, guess what? We're back there again now under Donald Trump. What is yellow journalism? Well, it's when a newspaper person, in this case, it could be television people, it could be people in the news business, whether it be on cable television or in the newspaper business. Today, of course, cable television is more important than newspapers are. The newspapers were lost a long time ago. So now we have yellow journalists running cable news outlets like Fox News. So you have Rupert Murdoch, who is the Hearst of our time, doing exactly what William Randolph Hearst did in his time, which was to use yellow journalism and jingoism, and of course shoes and legs and sex, scandal, crime, and salaciousness to sell viewers to watch his cable channel. The object of yellow journalism was to create a sensation that would force people or get them motivated to go buy copies of the newspaper. In other words, truth was sacrificed. All that mattered was profit, the same way Murdoch sees news, the same way that the people who run CNN see the news. And you say, well, so what? Okay, big deal. We know that. It's all, you know, scandal mongering. Well, of course, it doesn't really mean that much, except that it leads to war. In 1898, the U.S. Navy battleship, the USS Maine, blew up while off Havana, Cuba, killing more than 250 Americans. No one ever knew the cause, but the yellow journalistic press jumped to the conclusion that the Spanish did it deliberately. And a slogan of the yellow press was, "Remember the Maine," and it drove public opinion towards war. Does it sound familiar to you? Last week, you fools thought that you saw definitively that Assad would idiotically use sarin gas on his own people. You don't know if it's true or not. You don't even know what sarin gas is. You don't know sarin gas from sauerkraut. But you were sure that this man, who was winning in his war against the Islamists, would insanely and suicidally suddenly gas his own people. Made no sense. Why would his supporter, Russia, run by a very clever man, one of the most cagey people on the planet, who was winning the war against Islamic terrorists, why would he do a thing like this? They wouldn't do it. So the whole thing was invented by the yellow press, yellow journalism, and you bought it hook, line, and sinker. And what's astonishing to me is how many people who declare themselves to be conservatives all of a sudden join the liberals in saluting the war. People who fake conservatism on a daily basis, every day telling you how conservative they are, was suddenly jumping up and down with war fever. Suddenly they were on the same side as Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John McCain. And you maybe are on the same side, but you don't know why. And we're going to talk about that again today. Although Savage's Thursday remarks were broadcast before the United States attacked a Syrian airbase, Savage warned against military action that would raise tensions with Russia, saying, "Do you want war with Russia, all of you idiots, all of you fools who are pounding the war drums?" In Savage's opinion, it is the generals who are leading Trump into military conflicts. Savage rebuked President Trump on Friday, sarcastically calling the strike a military tweet. He later expanded that thought, saying it was a limp-wristed attack in order to gain the attention of the fools in the media and the fools amongst the so-called Republican voters who think this was a real great military action. He criticized not only the president, but also members of Congress on both sides of the aisle who applauded the strikes, exclaiming, "You know you're on the wrong side if that cesspool of filth supports your actions." Michael Savage believes Thursday's strike was a poor decision by President Trump that is out of line with the goals of his campaign and the desires of those who voted for him. Savage asked, "How is this an America First decision?" He added that Syrian intervention would not create a single job and is a no-win situation for America, likely to turn into another quagmire. Savage also used his monologue to lay out a case that the poison gas attack may not be what it seems. According to Savage, this was a complete false flag event. Assad had nothing to gain by gassing his own people. He believes the symptoms witnessed in Syria are consistent with a phosgene gas, not the sarin gas widely reported in the yellow press. He stated, "The West jumped to a conclusion," and later added, "We just helped ISIS." This is all in this fabulous review of my shows, Syria is a No-Win Situation for America, by Colin Medine and Breitbart, which I linked up on michaelsavage.com. And then, of course, it links up to my book, Trump's War. And the reason I'm telling you about the book is because there's a chapter in there that you have to share with people who are thoughtful. And that is Trump's War Against the War Machine, Chapter 7. I saw this coming. I feared he would be taken over by the generals. I feared that the liberal warmongers would get to him, namely his own family. I said it in the book. I feared that the neocons would get to him, as I said so in the book. I feared the war profiteers would be salivating for more war, as I said in the book. It's all in Trump's War Against the War Machine and my number one bestseller, Trump's War. The book did very well. It's still doing very well. It went to number one without Fox News, without the help of the Hearst of Our Time, despite the fact that I'm boycotted by the yellow press of Fox News. Somehow the people wanted to see what I had to say about the subject. Well, there it is. And I'm totally opposed to this fake war that Trump engaged in. I have always opposed jingoism. I've always opposed yellow journalism. And I know my history. And I don't want to see my history repeating itself. How have we gone from America last, America first, to becoming an empire all over again? Well, the answer is quite simple. Because Trump, the candidate, is not Trump the president. Trump the candidate has become a different man than Trump the president. You see, he has surrounded himself with neocons, the same ones who dragged us into Iraq and Afghanistan, who are now trying to drag us into the quagmire of the Middle East all over again. One of the biggest fools in the history of the presidency is Nikki Haley, one of the stupidest women I've ever seen in my life, screaming and yelling in the United Nations, a place for diplomacy. Instead of hysteria, there was Nikki Haley. Where he ever drugged this one up from, I don't know. I don't know what swamp he dragged her out of, but I thought he was going to drain the swamp, not drag a reptile out of it. Nikki Haley is a reptile that was laying in the swamp, put in his ear by someone. She gets up in front of the UN and starts screaming. Getting Assad out is not the only priority. And she went on and on with her warmongering, with an oversimplified roadmap, which is no doubt in my mind her idiocy, a recipe for another Iraq, another Afghanistan, another Libya, not to mention another Somalia. Where did he get this reptile Nikki Haley from? Who put her into this position? Well, that's the opening to the show. There are many other topics I'm going to try to get to today. Questions are, do you approve or disapprove of Trump on Syria? Do you want further action? Do you want war with Russia? I'm also going to do a little segment today on the meaning of Passover, which I do every year on the eve of Passover on the Savage Nation, because it has meaning, personal meaning to people, whether they're Jewish or not, about liberation, self-liberation is what it's really all about. I mean, many people think that the Passover holiday, if they study it at all, is about the celebration of the liberation of the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt. Well, it's partly to do with that. But it's so long ago that people really don't relate to those things anymore. And unless a holiday, whether it be a religious holiday or a secular holiday, has some personal meaning for people in their time, it loses its meaning altogether. Over time, it'll have no meaning whatsoever. And so I have tried to help you understand what it means about liberating yourself from your own bondage. I hope to talk about that later. One other further note, I happen to have a very severe case of the flu right now. I was advised not to go on the radio, but I feel this topic is so important, today particularly, that I had to go on today after what happened Thursday and Friday. I had to go on the air, and so I'm glad that you're with me. I'm glad I'm with you. If I cough occasionally, you'll have to forgive me. Please don't call with any remedies because I wrote the book.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Show you what a blunder Sheriff Trump has committed by coming out with his six gun and firing into the air, almost shooting his own foot off. Have you read the latest news, or are you still sitting there like a fool saying he's playing chess and he really scared those Russians and really scared those Chinese? Is that what you think? Have you seen what China has done, or you didn't get the news yet? Sheriff Trump, by firing his gun into the air and almost shooting his own foot off, has motivated China to moving 150,000 troops to the border of North Korea. Let me repeat the number for you. 150,000 Chinese troops have been moved to the North Korean border. Do you know why? Well, the Chinese are very hard to read, but not in this case. They said they've moved 150,000 troops to the North Korean border in two groups to prepare for unforeseen circumstances. And they said the reason is the prospect of military options, such as preemptive attacks by Sheriff Trump on North Korea. So Sheriff Trump, by firing his six gun in the air and almost shooting his own foot off, has not scared China at all. In fact, it was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. Not only that, but he did it while the Chinese delegation was sitting there having dinner with him in Mar-a-Lago, which I told you is beyond comprehension, stupid, stupid, stupid. For a man who came to power as president by calling the people who ran this country stupid, you ask yourself, how can he be more stupid than he was last week? The answer is he didn't do this on his own. He's surrounded by stupid people now. All of a sudden, all the stupid people who were running the foreign policy establishment are now running the foreign policy establishment all over again. You say, well, look, he shot those missiles. He really taught that Assad a lesson. What lesson did he teach him? That it could blow up an empty airfield? Blow up a few older MiG jets? Why didn't he target ISIS instead of Assad? If he was so concerned about atrocities, if he was so concerned about travesties against human beings, why did he not kill ISIS members in their training camps and their strongholds with the same missiles? Why didn't he dial them in? They're so darn accurate. Why did he not dial them in on those destroyers? He could have had the captains of those destroyers dial them in. They're probably dialed in at all times. They're moving targets. They know where they are. Why didn't he launch them against ISIS training camps instead of against the number one enemy of ISIS, which is Syria? Did you know the number one enemy of ISIS, those people who set people alive, afire while they're alive, the people who cut people's heads off, you know who the number one enemy is? Assad. Assad, as monstrous as he is a secular leader who wants to eradicate Islamic fundamentalism from Syria. So now you're on the side of fundamentalism, is that it? I warn you, study yellow journalism because you've been taken in by it. The Hearsts of our time, mainly Murdoch, have tricked you again.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, we are asking you a question. Do you approve or disapprove of Trump's Syria action? Do you want further action? Do you want war with Russia? Trigger-happy President Trump fired off some missiles last week, achieved nothing but setting off alarm bells across the planet. He did so while his guests from China were dining with him at Mar-a-Lago, which is one of the most shocking breaches of protocol imaginable. I want you to try to imagine this the other way. Let's say Trump and an entourage of 100 or so of his associates and advisors went to China and were having dinner with the Chinese at a private palace of the president of China. And during the dinner, while they're all enjoying a meal, he's notified that the Chinese just launched missiles against one of our outposts somewhere. I don't know where. Pick a spot. What would you say? That was a brilliant move? You people can't think, most of you can't think. You're just following orders. You're just like the Bushbots all over again. You bought it hook, line, and sinker that there were weapons of mass destruction there without any proof. There was no study as to whether there was sarin gas used, whether it was phosgene gas, as I suspect. But you bought it hook, line, and sinker because Murdoch wanted you to believe it. So all the girls with the laminated heels, the plastic heels of Fox News, were jumping up and down about sarin gas. And there it is. I mean, you just bought it hook, line, and sinker. It's like the big lie about WMDs with Saddam Hussein, remember? Remember they said that the reason we went to war in Iraq was because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction? And to this day, there are idiots in the media who say that they know there were weapons of mass destruction, but Saddam had moved them out before we got there. You know that big lie? Well, here it is. Same thing all over again. Did you vote for Donald Trump because you wanted foreign wars? Did you vote for Donald Trump because you wanted a president who was this precipitous with regard to foreign policy? Did you vote for Donald Trump because you wanted America last or America first? Did you vote for Donald Trump because you wanted an empire all over again? Empire building? Is that what you wanted? KSFO, Chuck, fire away line 5. Go ahead, please. I think I hit the wrong button. Line 5.
When Obama was in office, you said he was playing checkers, and now you think Trump is playing checkers? I don't think so. I think he's playing chess. Obama didn't cause the crazy man in South Korea to do what he's doing. I think this attack...
Wait. Now you're jumping from South Korea to Syria. Let's stick to Syria. Tell me the wisdom of firing missiles at Assad claiming he had used sarin gas.
That's playing chess.
What kind of chess is it? First of all, you're using my own words. When I said that, some were playing triple chess while Obama was playing checkers. So, you know, you're trying to talk to the master chess player here by using my own language. I don't know what you're saying, though.
What I'm saying is the attack had less to do with Syria and more to do about sending a message to North Korea.
Oh, and I see. Who got that message? Was it North Korea or was it China?
We can't expect China to sit by idly. They have to respond to show that they're still in the game.
Well, but sir, they just moved 150,000 troops to its North Korea border. That's the latest news an hour ago. So maybe they did get Trump's message, which is that he's a dangerous, unpredictable man, and they're not going to take it from him. Did you ever think of that? You know, his loose lips work very well on the campaign trail against Mitt Romney and all of the others, but it doesn't play out on an international scale in the same manner. You can't just bully everyone with a big mouth. It doesn't work.
Solution to South North Korea.
Well, you know, we're not making any headway with each other because your mind is made up that it was a brilliant stroke of chess that Trump engaged in. When I say it was a sheriff coming out on Main Street and shooting the gun in the air and almost hitting himself in the foot with one of his bullets. All he has done is get China agitated, and they've just moved 150,000 troops into North Korea, not to depose Kim Jong-un, but to defend Kim Jong-un. Do you see where I'm coming from?
I don't have any better idea, and I don't think you do either.
Better idea of what?
How to deal with North Korea.
I have an idea. Instead of precipitously firing missiles into an empty airfield in Syria, why could he have not fired some of the same missiles to Kim Jong-un's amphitheater the next time he gave one of his speeches? Wouldn't that have done the trick?
That would just delayed the inevitable, I think.
The inevitable of what?
Of them, North Korea, deploying a missile with a bomb.
You know, sir, I'm really trying to work with you, but I don't know. You're going in all different circles at once. You're saying that Trump is a genius and he's playing chess. Now you're saying North Korea is going to launch a missile with a bomb?
Merely agitating North Korea does...
All right, have a nice day. This is to come to work with the flu and have a call like that is like being reinfected with sweat now. Talk about chess. WABC, let's go to New York and see if we do any better there. Joe on line 8, what's on your mind?
Mike, this is Joe from Queens. How are you? I'm going to make you feel a little bit better right now because you are 100% right. You're 1,000% right. Trump is baited into this, and right now we're one step away from World War III.
Correct, and it's all because of the idiots he pulled in, the same people who would have been very comfortable running the foreign policy establishment for Hillary Clinton. They're exactly the same, if not worse. And I think you're talking about Mr. McMaster, aren't you?
100%. I think it's him, and I think...
Lieutenant General McMaster is the general who came along after they got rid of Flynn. Flynn was the right guy, by the way, and they engineered him out with a big lie again, and they put in McMaster. McMaster is the very same general who said we must not call Islam the enemy. Is that right?
Listen, I'm going to tell you something else. You know, and look, I followed Syria for a long time. I've only been awake to politics in the last few years since Ron Paul. And, you know, I was living a nice life. But since then, I've been watching Alex Jones. I've seen you on there every time. and you have to actually sort through the news. But there is an apparition of Virgin Mary that basically it's called Our Lady of Bayside. And
all right, hold on. Now you're going crazy. Did we get another crazy caller, Jim? Are you going through the Virgin Mary talk now? Where are we going with this?
No, I'm in Queens, but she said Syria was the key. That's why I always pay attention to Syria. Now, look, I pray like anybody else.
Wait, sir, you just said the Virgin Mary. What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
Because I think this is spiritual as well as secular. I mean, everything.
All right, here we go, another one. Jim, maybe you ought to take the afternoon off because it's two in a row now on a national show. I just got a Virgin Mary calling now in the middle of it. Maybe I'll take no callers together at all because maybe we're just getting the crazy people today. Okay, we could try more. Trump's bombing. That's what we're talking about. KSFO, go ahead, please.
This is Jason.
Okay, that's number three in a row for call screening. Not even the. And what station are you calling from? KSFO or KSYREIA, KSYRIA?
Streaming online, KSFO. I was calling about the bombing in Syria there. Two quick points. Number one, during his campaign, didn't he say that we have a depleted military and he wants to rebuild it, and China and Russia know that? Now he's going around poking two superpowers in the chest when they know we have a depleted military? There's no possible way he rebuilt it in 2 months. And my second...
Oh, well, hold on. That is so brilliant. Go ahead. Very good. Next.
So my second point is, his main concern during his presidency and his campaign was he was concerned with how he was going to spend taxpayers' dollars. Now he takes $100 million and fires it into an empty airfield to blow up a slab of concrete and a couple tin cans? That's how you treat my tax dollar?
Well, you know what? You're the kind of caller that makes sense. And you sound like you know what you're talking about. But there's more to it than that. The real issue is, how did he go from 3 days before this precipitous, idiotic event, when he said we have no desire to change regime in Syria, to suddenly ripping at Assad? Who did this to him? How did it happen in a three-day period? I traced it all to the removal of Steve Bannon and the arrival in the power structure of his son-in-law, Jared Kushner.
There's so many changes going on in the inner circles and this and that. You can't even keep track of it all. Who knows who's whispering what and telling what in his ear? It's confusion. It's confusion. Nothing but confusion.
All right. What you're saying is, from the outside, let's put all of that aside of why he changed on a dime and turned on his own positions, and ask ourselves why he's wasting valuable military resources in such an idiotic manner, provoking two world powers. Basically, that's your point, I think, correct?
Yeah, and there's no answer.
And there's no answer other than somebody pretty stupid told him to do it. Somebody who has no experience somebody who has no experience whatsoever talked him into this. And, you know, in the next hour, I have a journalist from Britain on the show who's saying, who stole my president? And she traces it back to somebody in his own family who was so moved emotionally by the pictures of the little children who had been gassed that the president acted without thinking. That's what she is going to say. Now, we don't even know who gassed the children. And, of course, we don't know what kind of gas was used. But you certainly don't put a country into such a position as we are in today over two photographs, do you?
No, absolutely not. There's no proof of that. And it makes no sense for him to do it. None whatsoever.
Jason, let me ask you something to get some context here. Did you vote for Donald Trump?
Yes, sir, I did.
All right, so you are a conservative. It's not like you voted for Hillary and just trying to bash Trump.
No.
Now, it's interesting. Interestingly, the relative popularity of support for the Syria strikes is very minimal. It's very low historically. I just got a poll from Gallup. U.S. support for Syria strikes rates low in historical context. You're not alone. I'll bet you feel that you're alone because so many neocons are screaming what a great thing it is, right?
To a certain extent, yeah.
Well, you're not alone. The neocons are the ones who were odd man out. Because Americans' opinions of U.S. military missile strikes in Syria, according to Gallup, is a 50% approval and a 41% disapproval. You say, well, that means more approved than disapproved. But 10 other military actions assessed since 1983 had majority support. And the military strikes against Syria is historically low compared with reactions to previous U.S. military actions. 50% of Americans approve of the missile airstrikes. 41% disapprove. What's even more interesting is that if you break it down, you know, I don't like to do these, but we'll do it. Republicans tremendously support this because they go along with what the party tells them to think. 82% of Republicans support the missile strikes. I suggest to these Republicans that they enlist or send their own sons and daughters to die for an old man's war. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Savage Nation, I got to tell you about some shirts. Look, the fact is I love this particular shirt company. Charles Tirrett, I was actually a customer of theirs before they started sponsoring my show. They make the best business and casual shirts you're going to find anywhere. All the fashion from their famous store on German Street in London has been made available online, and they're giving my listeners a huge savings. Charles Tirrett shirts are the most exquisitely tailored crease-free shirts ever. They're British style, using only the softest, most comfortable fabrics, tie or no tie, tucked or untucked. You're going to look great. Listen to me. Order now and get three shirts for just $99. That's 60% off, and all CT shirts come with free delivery, a six-month quality guarantee, and free returns. Just $99 gets you three amazing shirts right now at www.ctshirts.com/savage. That's ctshirts.com/savage. You can't go wrong. WABC George, line 8. Do you approve or disapprove of Trump's Syria action?
I disapprove for a variety of reasons, but the main one is all he's doing is pushing Putin closer to Iran, who happens to be Putin's biggest cash customer. He's too invested in that region to back down right now. Second point is they just flipped a task force fleet closer to Japan because his next move is going to be popping one of Kim Jong-un's firecrackers over the sea of Japan, provoking that end of the world. So we're looking at a very, very touchy situation.
Well, what do we have? We have a president who's engaging in gunboat diplomacy all of a sudden? Is that what we voted for?
No, we didn't vote for that, but he's got generals all over the place, and generals are not men of peace.
That's, you are 100% right. But we didn't vote for the generals. When I worked for a year to elect Donald Trump, I didn't vote for General McMasters. When I worked for a year straight to elect Donald Trump, I didn't work for Jared Kushner. I worked for Donald Trump. I thought he was the master of the deal, the art of the deal, not the art of the Tomahawk missile.
My bigger concern is...
My big concern is this. You go to war as a last resort, not as a first resort. And if you're too dumb to know how to do it through negotiation, then you shouldn't be in that position. It's that simple. You're supposed to be able to negotiate through these things, not kill in the name of peace. I couldn't be any more clear, and I want to say something again today that I said on Friday, if you think I'm doing this for effect. It is not in my self-interest to take this position. I will not earn one extra listener. I will not earn one extra advertiser. I will not get one rating point. All I'm going to do is lose any favor I may have had with this administration. So you say, well, why are you so stupid as to do this? Why are you alienating the president and his surrounding individuals? I'll say to you what I said on Friday. It's very simple. There's no reason for talk radio other than to try to get the truth out there. I know many of you don't believe it, but some of us actually do. In a world filled with such garbage and such lies and such cacophony of lies day and night, it's very difficult to remember where the truth lies. But I never forgot where the truth lies, because there's a way to arrive at the truth. It's not like I know the truth and you don't. If you use common sense and logic, you can usually come to the truth. What was the self-interest for Assad to gas his own people when he was winning the war? The answer was there was none. Why would Putin advise him to do it when Putin was helping him beat ISIS? Putin wouldn't have advised him to do it. Therefore, logic would dictate that Assad did not gas his own people. It was done by those within the corridors of power who have their own interests at mind, namely the generals, whose power derives from war, not peace.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
A child again. To have faith in presidents, to have faith in parents, to have faith in doctors, to have faith in teachers, to have faith in a nation. Wouldn't it be great to be a child again, where everything is safe and in order, everything's in place, where the men who get to high places are better than we are? The men who get to high places, highest places on earth, are always smarter than we are, better than we are, more far-seeing than we are. Wouldn't it be great to be a child again? So Sheriff Trump pulls out his six guns and starts shooting them off last week while the Chinese are having dinner with him, almost shoots himself in the foot. And many of you goose-steppers are saying he was playing chess, he's smarter than everybody, he really scared those Chinese, he scared the Russians. And then you wake up an hour ago and the Chinese have moved 150,000 troops to the border with North Korea. Oh, he really scared that Chinese delegation, didn't he? He scared them to death. They were just so impressed with all of that gold lame and all those mirrors. They almost dropped their drawers as they ran out of there. No, that's not what happened. According to Korean news agency Chosun, the Chinese army has deployed about 150,000 troops to the North Korean border in two groups to prepare for unforeseen circumstances. And their reason is the prospect of military options such as preemptive attacks on North Korea by Sheriff Trump. In other words, if Sheriff Trump's generals want to try that game on North Korea, the Chinese are ready for him this time. It's not a group of ragtag Syrians beating them to the dust. And so what has the U.S. done? Well, what the U.S. has done is moved the carrier class to Singapore. Isn't that great? Don't you feel good about that? Don't you feel wonderful that we voted for a man of peace and we got a man of war? Isn't it wonderful to see that he's been hijacked, that his presidency has been hijacked right in front of our eyes, and it happened over a three-day period, and that it appears that only one man stood between this, and that was Steve Bannon? I say, well, how could that be? How could it be? That's what explains it. There was an internal power struggle, which has been lost on most people, between the ultra-nationalist Steve Bannon and other factions within the inner circle who are New York liberal Democrats. And it looks like Steve Bannon was moved out, and the next day the missiles were launched. And by the way, not to the betterment of the world or the United States of America. This could have been done diplomatically. If it had been managed by people who were not as emotional and as juvenile and as naive and as ignorant of world affairs, this could have been handled in a much more pronouncedly intelligent manner. But we don't know what self-interest is involved here. We don't know. We don't know which sub-companies under which private labels are making vests, for example. We don't know if any senators' husbands, even on the Democrat side, were involved in this to make some military equipment. You see, right now the battle lines are no longer drawn very clearly. We don't know which side anyone's on anymore. We know that we elected a nationalist America firster, and then we woke up, and it was an empire, not a nation, that was being built. All on the turn of a dime. And you're hearing this from a man who was a Trump supporter from the beginning, before anyone else in the media. I was there for him. I know that the bloggers are out, the liars are out there. I don't know what they call them. What do you call people who go on and make stuff up on the internet? I don't know what they... Who? Right. The trolls are out there saying I was a never-Trumper, which is the exact opposite. I supported Trump from the beginning. I had him on the show since 2011. I worked very hard to have you go vote for him, as you know. And by the way, I still support him. I have not turned on Donald Trump. I'm trying to awaken Donald Trump to what's happening around him. Don't assume that he knows exactly what's going on, nor that what he has just done is not very popular amongst all of us, especially those of us who can still think. So, Trump's war. If you were passing this book in a bookstore today, I mean, after the missile launch, what would you think? What would you think of that? You're walking through Barnes & Noble. You're at an airport. And you see this smiling guy with that hat on, with the American flag around him, Trump's War is Battle for America, by Michael Savage. What does the title say to you today that it didn't say to you a week ago? Am I talking about him? Am I glorifying his war making? What am I talking about? It's an interesting question. Brock on KKOH in Reno, line two. Go ahead, please.
How's it going,
Brock?
Well, first of all, I just want to say today's show is on fire. I've been agreeing with a lot of the topics that you've been talking about today. On Syria, you know, I was, when Trump got in office and I started to see the people that were being appointed and the people that are surrounding him, a lot of the generals, honestly, I was excited. I was expecting that the leadership of this country would be run on experience. Generals don't just get there with hoopla. They're cunning. They know what they're doing. And that's kind of what I expected to see as far as military attacks and things of that nature would go. Obviously, I was mistaken.
No, very well put. Very well. Who are these? Wait a minute. Who are these generals? They remind me of police captains. Very often there are police captains who are pure politicians. They're not as caring about the officers down in the street as you would like them to be. And they're usually on the side of politics, not on the side of the policemen in the street. It's the same with the generals, I think.
I completely agree with you. And that's where I think that's where our country may have made the mistake is many of them, I believe, were like me, thinking, okay, we will have somebody that knows what they're doing, they know what the right decisions are to make, and with this bombing in Syria, I don't see the point of it, especially with the high-ranking officials he had at Mar-a-Lago at the time. That to me seems like a completely irrational move. You mentioned...
Right. Why would he do this while the Chinese delegation was sitting there having dinner with him? That was one of the gravest insults you could ever inflict upon a Chinese delegation.
To me, and I thought a little bit about this, is you see the persona that Trump puts off. You see the way he aggressively shakes hands with that famous pull of his when he sits at the table and he moves things away from him and kind of makes himself a bigger person. Trump's a power player. He always has been a power player. He likes to be the top dog. And I think this may have been one of those moves where he just wanted to show, I am not afraid of doing these type of things. This is my power. But I think he's quickly realizing that the Chinese, that Putin, that all these other world leaders are power players as well. He's not top dog anymore, even though he is the president of the United States. He's now...
In other words, what worked for him in negotiating, let us say, with a plumbers union may not be working for him when negotiating with China or with Russia.
President of a country is very different.
Yeah. In other words, a nation is a little different than a supplier of lumber for a building.
So.
No, I'm not very impressed. Do you think Trump actually woke up and said, my God, what did I do? Was I misled? Do you think he's had any second thoughts? Is Donald Trump capable of second thoughts is the question.
Oftentimes, presidents who change their approval ratings will start wars. You mentioned it with Bush and with Clinton in the past. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This could have been, and you said Trump may be doing the same type of thing, starting a war, doing some sort of bombing to try and up some approval ratings. But if that's what he was going for, why the heck did he not go for ISIS? If he had bombed ISIS, approval ratings...
Well, that's what I've been saying. In other words, if he wanted to raise approval ratings, because his approval was in the garbage can at around 40%, and by the way, it's about the same 40%, He did not get a huge boost out of this, no matter what the neocons and the ventriloquists and the media would have you believe. If it was done only for that Machiavellian reason, it failed. But it failed on a diplomatic level as well. It alienated China. It alienated Russia. Two hydrogen powers. What the hell was he thinking?
Exactly. It was a glorious, glorious failure. You keep talking about Trump's war, and if anything, I believe Trump's war has gotten much more difficult overnight.
All right, let's talk about Trump's war, my book title. When you hear the title or pass the title in a bookstore, when you say Trump's war, you by now know what I mean, his battle for America, not his battle for globalism.
Correct.
Okay, well, I'm going to send you a copy of Trump's War Against the Enemies Within, and maybe people will finally come to understand what I was talking about when I entitled that book. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I'm going to explain to you the meaning of Passover, because Passover and Easter are in confluence. It's a very powerful time for those of us who are of the Jewish and or Christian faith. And people don't sometimes really understand what Passover really symbolizes. They know some of what it means. They don't know how powerful a meaning it really has in the universal message of Passover. So let me begin with the plagues that the ancient Israelites were afflicted with: blood, frogs, vermin, flies, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and cattle boils. In other words, sounds very much like Marin County to me, but the Jewish people were thanking God through the Seder for their freedom and their liberation from the slavery in Egypt. And this is the whole story of in the universal sense of humankind, but most particularly in this sense of Passover of the Jewish people. So during the Passover Seder, it's a ritualized form of saying thank you to God. And the Jewish people eat a flatbread called matzah. And it says that the flatbread is eaten, you're not supposed to eat any bread with yeast in it, to remind every Jew that his ancestors were actually enslaved in Egypt by the Arabs. And it says, this is the bread of affliction which our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. Let all those who are hungry enter and eat thereof, and all who are in distress come and celebrate the Passover. And so, therefore, the Jewish people during these 10 days, I believe, eat only unleavened bread to remind themselves. And a message that goes out, that's supposed to go out to every, let's say, religious Jew or any Jew who's got a conscience, is that remind yourself as though you yourself were in slavery in Egypt, and therefore you're a free man, and what are you going to do with your freedom? It's an amazing thing if you can do it to yourself even once a day, because you remember that your freedom is not guaranteed, number one. Your freedom can be taken away from you at any time by any, just about any police agency in this country, for example, can steal your freedom for nothing. Anyone listening to this show, you may think that you're smug and above it, you can't be touched. Let me tell you, there are more people in prison in the United States of America, proportion to the population anywhere on earth. Your freedom can be taken away from you with a blink of an eye for no reason whatsoever. They could trump up charges. So the Jews celebrate their freedom, and they try to celebrate their freedom with the Passover celebration, but they always remember it was God who freed them. Didn't happen by accident. And so they sing a song, play the Dayenu song for a minute, and I'll tell you what it means in a minute. Right, so what that means is, it means that would have been enough. So the kids and the people sing, if God had brought us forth from Egypt and had not inflicted judgment upon the Egyptians, Dayenu, it would have been enough. The next thing says, if God had inflicted justice on them and had not executed judgment upon their gods, it would have been sufficient, Dayenu. And it goes on like that. If God had executed judgment upon their gods and had not slain their firstborn, that would have been sufficient, Dayenu. If he had slain their firstborn and had not bestowed their wealth on us, Dayenu, that would have been sufficient. And it goes down the list. If he had divided the sea for us and had not made us pass through on dry land, okay, Dayenu, that would have been good too. If he had made us pass through its midst on dry land and had not drowned our oppressors in the sea as they chased us, Diana would have been sufficient. If he had supplied our necessities in the wilderness during 40 years and had not fed us with manna, the Jews say, it would have been sufficient. If he had fed us with manna and had not given us the Sabbath, it would have been sufficient. If God had given us the Sabbath and had not brought us to Mount Sinai, Diana would have been sufficient. If he had brought us near to Mount Sinai and had not given us the law, Diana would have been sufficient. If he had given us the law and had not led us into the land of Israel, Diana would have been sufficient. If he had led us into the land of Israel and had not built the temple, Diana would have been sufficient. Do you see how it goes? And so, therefore, the Jewish person is supposed to remember this. And then he concludes by saying, how much more are we indebted for the manifold bounties which the God has bestowed upon us? He brought us forth from Egypt, executed judgment upon the Egyptians and their gods, slew their firstborn, gave us their wealth, divided the sea for us, caused us to pass through its midst on dry land, drowned our adversaries in the sea, supplied us with everything during 40 years, fed us with manna, gave us the Sabbath, led us to Mount Sinai, gave us the law, brought us to the land of Israel, and built the holy temple for us to atone for our iniquities. That's the whole meaning, in many ways, of thanks. That's the whole meaning of Passover, which is to say thanks to God for all of these things that were given to the Jewish, to the ancestors of the Jews, who are in essence the ancestors of the Christians as well. And in fact, if you analyze it, they were also the ancestors of the Muslims, because as you well know, Abraham is the father of the three religions, the three of the great religions on earth, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Most educated Muslims know this and respect this. And they see the integration between Judaism and Christianity and Islam, and they live in peace. Unfortunately, we're living through a time unlike any we have lived in for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, where a new breed of Islam has arisen on the earth called the Wahhabi sect of Islam. That is a radical interpretation of Islam that was created, I believe, in the 1800s by a radical Saudi cleric, a radical cleric. Of course, it couldn't be from Saudi Arabia, I don't believe, because Arabia at that time, I don't know if it was Saudi Arabia, it was Arabia. The Wahhabi sect of Islam is a very militant sect. It is being disseminated throughout the world, especially in the United States, by Saudi Arabia, who is spending tens and tens of millions of dollars building these radical mosques which teach not cooperation but antagonism. Everybody who has studied this knows that. They are a threat to our civilization. Not Islam, but Wahhabism. And so therefore, at that note, I depart from the savage nation at this moment, again telling you that with Passover and Easter, this is a phenomenally powerful time for Jews and Christians alike. It is a time for power to be experienced. The power of God himself can come into your being, where you can stand up to any dictatorship or any dictator.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We've been talking in great detail about the absurdity of Donald Trump's missile attack last week on Syria. And I want to reiterate that I'm his greatest supporter, and I still am. And because I am loyal to Donald Trump, that is why I am criticizing what he did last week. It's not because I oppose him. It's because I support him. And by exposing what was done as for the foolishness that it was, and the very dangerous foolishness that it was, perhaps it will reach Donald Trump, and he will think twice about the people who are whispering in his ear, whether they be within his inner circle or from the outer circle. Now, that's the opening to a guest right now, Katie Hopkins, global columnist for the DailyMail.com. She's been on this show once before. She's extremely clear on what she believes and very popular on this program. Katie Hopkins, Line 10, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Katie, are you there?
I'm here. I'm listening. Yes, thank you for having me.
Katie, you wrote a column recently entitled, Who Stole Our President? Isn't that the title?
Yes, that's exactly right. I've been such a huge Trump supporter all along, and like you, I remain one. I find it strange that people can't understand that you can disagree with one policy, one element, one particular political decision, and not still be a Trump supporter. Of course, I was supporting Trump in the UK when we were talking about banning him from the country. However, on Syria, I think he's got this wrong. I watched all the way through his campaign when he said, don't intervene in Syria. You don't want to get involved in Syria. In Syria, most of the rebels are jihadis. Assad is fighting against IS. We should not be involved in other people's countries. We need to put America first. And he said recently he had no wish to be the world's policeman. And so this seems such a massive turn, a 180 on his original position. And if I shut my eyes, it sounds to me like Hillary Clinton talking with the sort of actions that we've seen. And that can't be a good thing.
That's true. So my question last Thursday was, how did this happen in such a short period of time? And I put two and two together, and it was when Bannon was demoted and the son-in-law was promoted, I thought that's when the change occurred. Can you tell us, in your opinion, I believe the generals are dictating policy. Who was it in your mind who changed Donald Trump on Syria?
I think the change happened. I think it's an emotional decision. So there could well be strategic maneuvering, as you're alluding to, in terms of the family taking more control. I would probably build on that. We saw here in Europe, I don't know if you remember, probably do, the little picture of the boy, Alan Kurdi, washed up on the beach in Greece when we were having the massive migration crisis, boats arriving across the Med filled with migrants. There's a boy, Alan Kurdi, that died in that. He must have only been about 2 years old. And there was a picture of him on the beach. That picture changed the course of decision-making in Europe for the next couple of years. It's the reason why we have terror in Europe now. It's the reason why we have the funeral of the PC that was slaughtered in Westminster today. It's the reason why in Sweden a truck just took out another four people. Because of that massive migration flow that was enabled by an outpouring of grief over this one picture of this one boy on a beach. And this is that moment all over again for me. You know, we need leaders who do not make decisions with their hearts. Those pictures of those children who were gassed, if those pictures are exactly as we see them to be, Ivanka's emotional reaction to those, playing into her dad, who's a big-hearted guy, a lovely father, loved by his children, an emotional reaction led to 59 Tomahawk missiles being aimed at that Syrian airbase in the night. And what concerns me is that strategically we need our leaders to be thinking with their heads. And if you think it's a good idea to depose Assad, I need to ask your listeners, so what next? What then? Who next? Who's better? We would all agree, you know, someone in this has been a monster. Some of Assad's actions have been monstrous, but I believe you need to choose your monsters. Assad is the only secular leader left in the Middle East. He ran a secular state. He's protecting Christians, the very Christians that have just been slaughtered in Egypt. And he allows women to vote, women to drive. If you depose him, you are deposing a man who is fighting IS. So I suppose that's where I come at this from, is you need to pick your monster.
Well, it's all well put. You know, you raised the issue of the one picture. It's the propaganda power of that single picture that has altered the course of human events. I began today's show by talking about yellow journalism and how it was perfected by Hearst back in the 1890s with the Maine going down and blaming Spain for that one and starting a whole war. But we can come up to a more recent time, Katie, with a picture from Vietnam, that iconic photograph of that half-naked young girl running down the street after her village had been napalmed during the Vietnam War. We do not know exactly what happened, but that one picture shaped public opinion and literally brought the U.S. military to its knees. So propaganda is extremely important, and apparently Donald Trump succumbed to the propaganda photo of the gassed children, but we still don't know who gassed them, nor what kind of gas was even used. I used my background in phytochemistry and chemistry last week to talk about the gas itself. It could not have been sarin gas, Katie. You've probably read all the reports on that, because it couldn't have been a nerve gas, because if it was a nerve gas, everybody who have touched the children, or the victims, rather, would have died right away or quickly. It was probably a choking agent such as phosgene or chlorine. So we don't know who released the gas, and we don't even know what kind of gas it was, and yet most of the world is jumping up and down screaming, oh, sarin gas, sarin gas. It was Hitler all over again. That's the sad state of journalism that we have today, Katie, is it not?
I think it absolutely is. I spent some time in the forces, in the military, went through SAMTAS, your equivalent of West Point, so we did quite a lot of NBC, nuclear, biological, chemical warfare training. I hated it. But when you look at those images, those white helmets, Oscar-winning stuff, really, I say that with an immense amount of sarcasm, they have no protective gear. They have no protection, if that was supposed to be sarin. There is no way they could have been stood there hosing children down in what they were wearing, which are pretty much dust masks, which seem to be just a sort of fakery. I'm also very concerned by the images of the white helmets, those doctors. You know, they were on scene immediately. That seems very curious to me. And then there's the case of the Dr. Sharjul Islam, who is a UK-trained doctor, struck off, obviously. He was the one pushing images from the scene, pushing images of the children and these white helmets being right there, right when the attack happened, but somehow not harmed themselves. And he is part of the terrorist group responsible for the kidnap of John Cantile, the journalist. So there is a very blurred line between fact and fiction, a very blurred line with these white helmets. And I believe many of those masquerading as heroes, as he was called, are actually terrorists and jihadis themselves. And my one fundamental question, even if you don't believe all the conspiracy theorists as we're labeled with our tinfoil hats, is why would Assad do this? He was winning the war. He has a clear ambition. He knows he has the backing of Russia. Why, when Trump said he didn't support regime change, would he incur the wrath of the U.S.? It makes no sense.
We're speaking with Katie Hopkins, global columnist for the DailyMail.com. She and I think like siblings who agree with each other rather than siblings who don't. Katie, none of it makes sense to me. I'm just using plain logic. Assad was winning. Therefore, why would he do this? Russia's run by a cagey man. Why would he do this? Makes no sense. Does not seem to be sarin gas. And yet the entire world media took it hook, line, and sinker, Katie. How can so many people be so ignorant?
It's such a curious thing. And when you push them on it, when they say, yes, I supported the launch of the missiles, you say to them, so what next? What's the end point? Where do you see this going? They can't think of what the solution is. There is no solution, of course. And when you ask them, who is the enemy of Assad? They struggle when they then say ISIS. And they cannot see this massive hypocrisy, this idea that Assad is battling against the enemy that we share, our shared enemy, an enemy that just blew up two churches on Palm Sunday in Egypt, where a population is 90% Muslim. Is that not enough? Do they still need to persecute the 10%? Assad is fighting against ISIS. ISIS is our common enemy. And somehow everyone has lost their minds over this and thinks that throwing missiles in is a good idea. And even the liberals, the ones here that have mocked Trump endlessly, consistently, they suddenly think this strike was a good idea. And when it comes down to it, their rationale is something had to be done. I think the thing that needs to be done is us to get out of Assad's way, stop lobbing bombs into a national territory, a sovereign territory with a legal elected leader, and let Assad get this war over. The war is brutal. The war is harsh. There are many monsters. Get the war finished with Assad in charge.
Look, Ms. Hopkins, the generals worry me greatly, especially those in power right now who were not in power in the beginning. But that they're not the issue. The issue is the chief executive, Donald Trump. We elected him. I worked so hard to elect him. I still support him. I want to be very clear about that. what happened. You analyze things as I do. Use logic with me. How did he change so quickly? I think your article says you want him to think with his head, not with his you-know-what. Is it that he was just reacting emotionally to some pictures put in front of his eyes?
I think that's correct. You know, I think he is a man. We see on his Twitter feed, don't we? He's clearly watching cable news, and you see the tweets that come as soon as he sees something. He's outraged by it or proud or pleased. You see the tweet come, and it's an emotional reaction to what he's just seen on cable. And I think we saw the same with this. Those pictures came. He was determined to prove, unlike Obama, he was a man of action. He's now been surrounded, it would appear, by kind of rabble-raisers, warmongers, those that want to push him towards more military action without thinking through what that really means geopolitically as we edge ever closer to World War III. Then you've got Ivanka, who he clearly loves dearly, being terribly upset, and that links to more of his heart. And then it ends up with him reacting in this way. And then I think we've just seen, haven't we, the move of one of his key members, Katie McFarlane, now demoted in my terms to be ambassador of Singapore because she's against boots on the ground. And I've heard that boots on the ground is the date of boots on the ground in Syria could be as soon as the 1st of June. So it concerns me that people who are against boots on the ground are being moved away from him. Those kind of warmongering individuals, the hawks, are being moved closer. And I just wonder whether we can hear more from the real Donald that I supported all the way through and less from these rabble-rousers that seem keen to push us into World War III.
Boy, Katie, do you have it right. You know, we just read this morning that China's moved 150,000 troops to the border with North Korea. I'm sure you saw that headline. Did you get a chance to digest that one? Katie, please stay with us for a minute. I want to talk about the movement of 150,000 Chinese troops to the North Korea border days after the Chinese delegation was blindsided by Donald Trump's precipitous launch of missiles while I was dining with him. Right here, I was speaking with the great Katie Hopkins, global columnist for the DailyMail.com on Michael Savage. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Look, the fact is, I want to talk about sleep because a great night's sleep can help you have a great day. I know it better than anybody. I'm a real sleeper. And luckily, I'm having a lot of great days because I get a great night's sleep every night on my Casper mattress. You see, the Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all the support you need and guarantees you get the best night's sleep ever. It ships to you for free in a box that's so small you won't believe it holds a mattress. It's easy to get into your bedroom. And I love that Casper lets you try the mattress for 100 nights in your own home. Risk-free, they'll come pick it up if you don't like it. And if you don't love it as much as I love mine, they'll refund you everything. No questions asked. It's a great deal. From its breakthrough design to its packaging to letting you try it for 100 nights, it is no wonder Casper was named one of Fast Company's 50 most innovative brands of 2017. And believe me, sleeping on a mattress is the only way to try it. It beats lying on one in a store for just a few minutes, right? So get a Casper and get a great night's sleep every night like I do. You go to Casper.com, you use the code SAVAGE, and you get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. It's simple. Casper.com, code SAVAGE, and get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com, code SAVAGE, terms and conditions do apply. Well, before this hour comes to an end, I want to say a few last things to you. Unfortunately, we ran out of time for Katie Hopkins, global columnist for DailyMail.com, to rejoin us. I hope to have her on again later on in the week when I'm back. I hope to be back tomorrow. As I said to you, I came on the air despite a pretty massive flu. But as in all cases when I've come on the air when I'm sick, I feel better during the show than I do before and after the show. It's just a phenomenon of performance that never fails to amaze me. I guess anyone who's in the business of performing anything will always tell you they feel better if they go to work than if they stay home and lay there and worry about the symptoms. But I got a real doozy this time, and I've been very lucky over the years because I've used all the nutrients that I've known for over 50 years to keep these diseases or illnesses off me. I mean, I've used massive doses of ascorbic acid. I've used massive doses of vitamin A and zinc and herbal remedies and whatnot and homeopathic remedies. And I've always been able to beat these things back. The problem here, I'm just telling you what happened, was I went to the mountains after my party last week. I went too high up too fast, up to wherever, I don't even know where it was, Park City, Utah, 9,000 feet. The altitude change was too dramatic. But the worst part was, is that in the car on the way down, I had a limo company that sent the driver who put some chemical in the car just seconds before I got in it to clean some oil spill. It was like a toluene-based compound. I almost died when I put my nose in it. I spent 1 hour in the cold coming down the mountain with the windows wide open with a napkin over my nose. So I think it was the toluene that stripped away my external defenses and exposed me to whatever the heck was floating around there that I got from initially. But here I am, and I'm glad that I was able to do it. I'm glad to be with you today and pour some sunlight onto a caustic lie.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
To show you what a blunder Sheriff Trump has committed by coming out with his six gun and firing into the air, almost shooting his own foot off. Have you read the latest news, or you're still sitting there like a fool saying he's playing chess and he really scared those Russians and really scared those Chinese? Is that what you think? Have you seen what China has done, or you didn't get the news yet? Sheriff Trump, by firing his gun into the air and almost shooting his own foot off, has motivated China to moving 150,000 troops to the border of North Korea. Let me repeat the number for you. 150,000 Chinese troops have been moved to the North Korean border. Do you know why? Well, the Chinese are very hard to read, but not in this case. They said they've moved 150,000 troops to the North Korean border in two groups to prepare for unforeseen circumstances. And they said the reason is the prospect of military options, such as preemptive attacks by Sheriff Trump on North Korea. So Sheriff Trump, by firing his six gun in the air and almost shooting his own foot off, has not scared China at all. In fact, it was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. Not only that, but he did it while the Chinese delegation was sitting there having dinner with him in Mar-a-Lago, which I told you is beyond comprehension, stupid, stupid, stupid. For a man who came to power as president by calling the people who ran this country stupid, you ask yourself, how can he be more stupid than he was last week? The answer is he didn't do this on his own. He's surrounded by stupid people now. All of a sudden, all the stupid people who were running the foreign policy establishment are now running the foreign policy establishment all over again. You say, well, look, he shot those missiles. He really taught that Assad a lesson. What lesson did he teach him? That he could blow up an empty airfield? Blow up a few older MiG jets? Why didn't he target ISIS instead of Assad? If he was so concerned about atrocities, if he was so concerned about travesties against human beings, why did he not kill ISIS members in their training camps and their strongholds with the same missiles? Why did he dial them in? They're so darn accurate. Why did he not dial them in on those destroyers? He could have had the captains of those destroyers dial them in. They're probably dialed in at all times. They're moving targets. They know where they are. Why did he launch them against ISIS training camps instead of against the number one enemy of ISIS, which is Syria? Did you know the number one enemy of ISIS, those people who set people alive, afire while they're alive, the people who cut people's heads off, you know who the number one enemy is? Assad. Assad, as monstrous as he is a secular leader who wants to eradicate Islamic fundamentalism from Syria. So now you're on the side of fundamentalism, is that it? I warn you, study yellow journalism because you've been taken in by it. The Hearsts of our time, mainly Murdoch, have tricked you again. You know, on Friday I did a heartfelt show as usual, but this one was particularly heartfelt. I called what Trump did in Syria a military tweet, not a strategic move. I asked, has he even thought about what follows his limp-wristed firing of some missiles at some runway? All I had to do was look at who was supporting him. All the people who hated Donald Trump, all the psychopaths, McCain, Lindsey Graham, the War Party, the psychos who fought him every step of the way were suddenly saluting him, glowing over the limp-wristed missile attack. And I said to you, what does this tell you? It tells you that the Soros globalist cabal took over the Trump administration and that he's now doing their bidding. And I asked you, how is this an America First decision to engage in a civil war between two enemies of the United States of America? I also made an appeal to you. I said to you, it is not too late to awaken President Trump to his disastrous error. It's not so much the missile attack, which was minor. It was the psychological switch from what he was to what he became in only a period of a few days. That's the real problem here. Now, there are rumors abound as to why this happened, which I think you all know, and I don't have to go into it all over again. The best article on this whole subject about my position was in Breitbart over the weekend. Michael Savage says Syria is a no-win situation for America by Colin Medine. It's about the best review of what my position is. This individual got everything that I said and got it just right. And I'm going to ask you some questions. Do you approve or disapprove of Trump's Syria action? Do you want further action? Do you want war with Russia? Getting back to this disastrous change in this jingoism that we're seeing, it's based purely on yellow journalism. You say, well, what's yellow journalism? What Trump did was based on yellow journalism. I blame the media for having rushed Trump into this disastrous turnabout in his policy. All we heard was the jingoism over and over and over again. Well, study what yellow journalism is and the origins of it. And you will see that William Randolph Hearst used fake news to start a war back in the 1890s. We all heard about fake news, right? It's gone up and down through American history. But there happened to have been a golden age of fake news, known as yellow journalism, back in the 1890s, when fake news was so bad that it helped start a war. Well, guess what? We're back there again now under Donald Trump. What is yellow journalism? Well, it's when a newspaper person, in this case, it could be television people, it could be people in the news business, whether it be on cable television or in the newspaper business. Today, of course, cable television is more important than newspapers are. The newspapers were lost a long time ago. So now we have yellow journalists running cable news outlets like Fox News. So you have Rupert Murdoch, who is the Hearst of our time, doing exactly what William Randolph Hearst did in his time, which was to use yellow journalism and jingoism, and of course shoes and legs and sex, scandal, crime, and salaciousness to sell viewers to watch his cable channel. The object of yellow journalism was to create a sensation that would force people or get them motivated to go buy copies of the newspaper. In other words, truth was sacrificed. All that mattered was profit, the same way Murdoch sees news, the same way that the people who run CNN see the news. And you say, well, so what? Okay, big deal. We know that. It's all, you know, scandal mongering. Well, of course, it doesn't really mean that much, except that it leads to war. In 1898, the U.S. Navy battleship, the USS Maine, blew up while off Havana, Cuba, killing more than 250 Americans. No one ever knew the cause, but the yellow journalistic press jumped to the conclusion that the Spanish did it deliberately. And a slogan of the yellow press was, "Remember the Maine," and it drove public opinion towards war. Does it sound familiar to you? Last week, you fools thought that you saw definitively that Assad would idiotically use sarin gas on his own people. You don't know if it's true or not. You don't even know what sarin gas is. You don't know sarin gas from sauerkraut. But you were sure that this man, who was winning in his war against the Islamists, would insanely and suicidally suddenly gas his own people. Made no sense. Why would his supporter, Russia, run by a very clever man, one of the most cagey people on the planet, who was winning the war against Islamic terrorists, why would he do a thing like this? They wouldn't do it. So the whole thing was invented by the yellow press, yellow journalism, and you bought it hook, line, and sinker. And what's astonishing to me is how many people who declare themselves to be conservatives all of a sudden join the liberals in saluting the war. People who fake conservatism on a daily basis, every day telling you how conservative they are, was suddenly jumping up and down with war fever. Suddenly they were on the same side as Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John McCain. And you maybe are on the same side, but you don't know why. I'm going to direct you to a reading assignment, as though this is a seminar, a graduate school seminar in war and peace. And I'm going to direct you to the most important document on this subject, which is Trump's War. You have the book. Many of you have the book. Page 137, Trump's War Against the War Machine. I called him a man of peace. Page 139, one of the reasons I worked so hard to get Trump elected is I believe he will be a man of peace. Did you hear this? I said put everything else aside. The most important thing in this world is not the economy. It's peace. Domestic peace, international peace, peace between individuals, peace between nations is far more important than gross domestic product or low interest rates. Hundreds of years ago, I wrote, Thomas Hobbes said the very first law of nature is to seek peace. My friends, this is the essence of true conservatism. And I'm not just talking about the absence of military war on the battlefield. I'm talking about peace between individuals and groups within society. It's the opposite of progressivism, which seeks nothing but conflict. Progressives promote conflict between people of different racial groups, different sexual orientations, and different income levels. They even promote conflict between men and women. This is all in the most important document you could ever, ever have in your hand. I'm appealing to all of you who do not consider yourselves to be politically akin with Michael Savage, but you listen to me because you hear something that you might agree with from time to time. I'm actually imploring you to go out right now and buy a copy of Trump's War, especially for this one chapter, Trump's War Against the War Machine. What are my Savage solutions? One, stand firm on peace with Russia. Two, combat the war propaganda with the bully pulpit. Destroy ISIS and then leave the Middle East. Bring our troops home from unnecessary deployments. I stand by those very words. Russia, 1.7 million. France, 1.3 million. Great Britain and the Empire, 908,000. Italy, 650,000 dead. USA, 126,000 dead. Japan, 300. Romania, 335,000 dead. Serbia, 45,000 dead. Belgium, 13,800. Greece, 5,000. Total allies lost 5 million men in World War I. Germany lost 1.7 million men. Austria, little Austria, lost 1.2 million men in the carnage. Turkey, 325,000. Bulgaria, 87,000. I am talking about human lives. I am talking about men whose legs were blown off. I'm talking about the sloppiest, most disgusting war in human history. Is that what you idiots want? War with Russia? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Gonna. Savage warned against military action that would raise tensions with Russia, saying, do you want war with Russia, all of you idiots, all of you fools who are pounding the war drums? In Savage's opinion, it is the generals who are leading Trump into military conflicts. Savage rebuked President Trump on Friday, sarcastically calling the strike a military tweet. He later expanded that thought, saying it was a limp-wristed attack in order to gain the attention of the fools in the media and the fools amongst the so-called Republican voters who think this was a real great military action. He criticized not only the president, but also members of Congress on both sides of the aisle who applauded the strikes, exclaiming, "You know you're on the wrong side if that cesspool of filth supports your actions." Michael Savage believes Thursday's strike was a poor decision by President Trump that is out of line with the goals of his campaign and the desires of those who voted for him. Savage asked, "How is this an America First decision?" He added that Syrian intervention would not create a single job and is a no-win situation for America, likely to turn into another quagmire. Savage also used his monologue to lay out a case that the poison gas attack may not be what it seems. According to Savage, this was a complete false flag event. Assad had nothing to gain by gassing his own people. He believes the symptoms witnessed in Syria are consistent with a phosgene gas, not the sarin gas widely reported in the yellow press. He stated, "The West jumped to a conclusion," and later added, "We just helped ISIS." This is all in this fabulous review of my shows, Syria is a No-Win Situation for America, by Colin Medine and Breitbart, which I linked up on michaelsavage.com. And then, of course, it links up to my book, Trump's War. And the reason I'm telling you about the book is because there's a chapter in there that you have to share with people who are thoughtful. And that is Trump's War Against the War Machine, Chapter 7. I saw this coming. I feared he would be taken over by the generals. I feared that the liberal warmongers would get to him, namely his own family. I said it in the book. I feared that the neocons would get to him, as I said so in the book. I feared the war profiteers would be salivating for more war, as I said in the book. It's all in Trump's War Against the War Machine, in my number one bestseller, Trump's War. The book did very well. It's still doing very well. It went to number one without Fox News, without the help of the Hearst of Our Time, despite the fact that I'm boycotted by the yellow press of Fox News. Somehow the people wanted to see what I had to say about the subject. Well, there it is. And I'm totally opposed to this fake war that Trump engaged in. I have always opposed jingoism. I've always opposed yellow journalism. And I know my history. And I don't want to see my history repeating itself. How have we gone from America last, America first, becoming an empire all over again? Well, the answer is quite simple. Because Trump, the candidate, is not Trump the president. Trump the candidate has become a different man than Trump the president. You see, he has surrounded himself with neocons, the same ones who dragged us into Iraq and Afghanistan, who are now trying to drag us into the quagmire of the Middle East all over again. One of the biggest fools in the history of the presidency is Nikki Haley, one of the stupidest women I've ever seen in my life. Screaming and yelling in the United Nations, a place for diplomacy, instead of hysteria, there was Nikki Haley. Where he ever drugged this one up from, I don't know. I don't know what swamp he dragged her out of, but I thought he was going to drain the swamp, not drag a reptile out of it. Nikki Haley is a reptile that was laying in the swamp, put in his ear by someone. She gets up in front of the UN and starts screaming, "Getting Assad out is not the only priority." And she went on and on. On and on with her warmongering, with an oversimplified roadmap, which is no doubt in my mind her idiocy, a recipe for another Iraq, another Afghanistan, another Libya, not to mention another Somalia. Where did he get this reptile Nikki Haley from? Who put her into this position? Questions are, do you approve or disapprove of Trump on Syria? Do you want further action? Do you want war with Russia?
Savage.
Well, we are asking you a question. Do you approve or disapprove of Trump's Syria action? Do you want further action? Do you want war with Russia? Trigger-happy President Trump fired off some missiles last week. Achieved nothing but setting off alarm bells across the planet. He did so while his guests from China were dining with him at Mar-a-Lago, which is one of the most shocking breaches of protocol imaginable. I want you to try to imagine this the other way. Let's say Trump and an entourage of 100 or so of his associates and advisors went to China and were having dinner with the Chinese at a private palace of the president of China. And during the dinner, while they're all enjoying a meal, he's notified that the Chinese just launched missiles against one of our outposts somewhere. I don't know where. Pick a spot. What would you say? That was a brilliant move? You people can't think, most of you can't think. You're just following orders. You're just like the Bushbots all over again. You bought it hook, line, and sinker that there were weapons of mass destruction there without any proof. There was no study as to whether there was sarin gas used, whether it was phosgene gas, as I suspect. But you bought it hook, line, and sinker because Murdoch wanted you to believe it. So all the girls with the laminated heels, the plastic heels of Fox News, were jumping up and down about sarin gas. And there it is. I mean, you just bought it hook, line, and sinker. It's like their big lie about WMDs with Saddam Hussein, remember? Remember they said that the reason we went to war in Iraq was because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction? And to this day, there are idiots in the media who say that they know there were weapons of mass destruction, but Saddam had moved them out before we got there. You know that big lie? Well, here it is, the same thing all over again. Did you vote for Donald Trump because you wanted foreign wars? Did you vote for Donald Trump because you wanted a president who was this precipitous with regard to foreign policy? Did you vote for Donald Trump because you wanted America last or America first? Did you vote for Donald Trump because you wanted an empire all over again? Empire building? Is that what you wanted? So Sheriff Trump pulls out his six guns and starts shooting them off last week while the Chinese are having dinner with him. Almost shoots himself in the foot. And many of you goose steppers are saying he was playing chess. He's smarter than everybody. He really scared those Chinese. He scared the Russians. And then you wake up an hour ago and the Chinese have moved 150,000 troops to the border with North Korea. Oh, he really scared that Chinese delegation, didn't he? He scared them to death. They were just so impressed with all of that gold lame and all those mirrors. They almost dropped their drawers as they ran out of there. No, that's not what happened. According to Korean news agency Chosun, the Chinese army has deployed about 150,000 troops to the North Korean border in two groups to prepare for unforeseen circumstances. And their reason is the prospect of military options such as preemptive attacks on North Korea by Sheriff Trump. In other words, if Sheriff Trump's generals want to try that game on North Korea, the Chinese are ready for him this time. It's not a group of ragtag Syrians beaten into the dust. And so what has the U.S. done? Well, what the U.S. has done is moved the carrier class to Singapore. Isn't that great? Don't you feel good about that? Don't you feel wonderful that we voted for a man of peace and we got a man of war? Isn't it wonderful to see that he's been hijacked, that his presidency has been hijacked right in front of our eyes, and it happened over a three-day period, and that it appears that only one man stood between this, and that was Steve Bannon? I say, well, how could that be? How could it be? That's what explains it. There was an internal power struggle, which has been lost on most people, between the ultra-nationalist Steve Bannon and other factions within the inner circle who are New York liberal Democrats. And it looks like Steve Bannon was moved out, and the next day the missiles were launched. And by the way, not to the betterment of the world or the United States of America. This could have been done diplomatically. If it had been managed by people who were not as emotional and as juvenile and as naive and as ignorant of world affairs, this could have been handled in a much more pronouncedly intelligent manner. But we don't know what self-interest is involved here. We don't know. We don't know which sub-companies under which private labels are making vests, for example. We don't know if any senators' husbands, even on the Democrat side, were involved in this to make some military equipment. You see, right now the battle lines are no longer drawn very clearly. We don't know which side anyone's on anymore. We know that we elected a nationalist America Firster, and then we woke up, and it was an empire, not a nation, that was being built. All on the turn of a dime. And you're hearing this from a man who was a Trump supporter from the beginning, before anyone else in the media. I was there for him. The trolls are out there saying I was a never-Trumper, which is the exact opposite. I supported Trump from the beginning. I had him on the show since 2011. I worked very hard to have you go vote for him, as you know. And by the way, I still support him. I have not turned on Donald Trump. I'm trying to awaken Donald Trump to what's happening around him. Don't assume that he knows exactly what's going on or that what he has just done is not very popular amongst all of us, especially those of us who can still think. What business do we have in Syria? Tell me what is in our national security interest. The answer is nothing. Now, one of our allies has huge stakes in the Syrian situation. That's Israel. There's no question. You don't have to be a genius to see who was pulling the string on this one. And I hope that my friends in Israel take this in the right manner. I support the state of Israel. I always have and I always will. However, I do not like to see my sovereign, beautiful nation being used like a dog, having you the tail wag it. I do not like seeing our Navy being used for the Israeli Navy. And that's what I think happened here. The biggest beneficiary of this disastrous stupidity, this military tweet, the biggest beneficiary, in addition to Trump's domestic popularity, that'd be a beneficiary in one regard, I hope, but maybe not. I think so, with the liberal media on the side now of the easily gulled American public. It looks like his popularity will jump 20 points. It always does, by the way, when a president gets in the corner, just look back and see what they all did. Bush did it when he was low. They all do it. Same advice. You get in a corner, launch a war. Just a wag the dog job. Doesn't matter. Bomb an aspirin factory. Go out there in a bomber jacket. He could go right from Mar-a-Lago in a somewhere or an aircraft carrier. Who knows what the PR agents will come up with next. So it's a certain point. It's all a charade at a certain point. But, you know, the issue is what happens tomorrow. Has he thought it through? We know the president is a huge tweeter, which is the mark, by the way, not of intelligence so much as it is of an emotional reaction. You know, I write books for a living. I think thoughts. I get on the radio three hours a day. I have to be very careful what I say. Sometimes I'm reckless. Sometimes I'm pretty careful in what I say. I don't know whether you think I'm being reckless or careful today, but I tell you this, I'm going for the truth. Because there's no other place for me to go. I can't go anywhere else. Otherwise, I'll sound like everyone else in the media, which I'm not. It's one way that I've created my independence, which is to be as truthful as I possibly can. I will remind you that my book, Trump's War, went to number one on the New York Times list. I know you've heard it before. Well, think about it very carefully. How did it become number one if I was not on any television shows? How did it become number one if none of the other great conservatives even mentioned the book, even though they're all my allies, right? It became number one because, as Hemingway said, the truth has a certain ring to it. And many of you have come to rely upon me, this old guy on the radio, as sort of a harbinger of the truth. You realize that I'm a national treasure for this country in being not only able to see through the fog, but able to articulate it, and I have the guts to say it. Sometimes a great risk to myself, which is foolish. I understand that. Sometimes I just want to pull my head in and hide, but I can't do that. I'm too far in. So I may as well go for the gold right now. Who benefited most from this attack on the Syrian Air Force? Israel. Never forget that Syria has always been a mortal enemy of the state of Israel. And Israel fought many air wars against the Syrian Air Force, which is a very potent air force. Israel fought ground battles against Syria, not only on the Golan, but in other places. And as I told you yesterday, the Syrian military is composed of some of the toughest and smartest fighters on the planet. I was told that by an Israeli tank captain who I happened to know at the time, a man who I'll repeat the story because it's a telling story. He was a tank commander on the Golan Heights, and Israel almost lost that war. All his tanks were blown up. All his men were killed. Syrian commander, captain of the Syrian tank force. All his men were killed. All his tanks were smoking. The Syrian commander came out of the turret of his tank with a handgun, came running toward my friend and pointed it at my friend. My friend's gun was empty. He pulled out a flare gun and shot the Syrian in the chest and saw the Syrian go up in smoke. Not a pretty sight. He didn't enjoy saying that to me. He's a beautifully humane man. But he said, I'm trying to tell you something with this story. He said they're tremendous fighters. They're very smart and they're very loyal and they're very brave. So, okay, from the point of view of Israel, say, what do I care if America's stupid enough to use their destroyers in our, you know, we can get them to do it. Let's do it. Why wouldn't you do it if you were them? Why would you expend the life of one Israeli if you could risk the lives of an American? I mean, think about it. You know, our lives, we have an expendable life force. The guys from Utah, Iowa, you know, the real Americans. You know, not the ones who run around Hollywood. We're talking about the real Americans, the guys who actually go out there in the military and lose their legs, their arms, and their souls. They're the ones, they're expendables, aren't they? They're just like us, we the deplorables, who elected Donald Trump. This has been a sermon and an appeal thus far to please think carefully before he is again precipitously pushed into the wrong decisions. War is a very serious business. It's not just rhetoric on a campaign trail. There are consequences to war. And what we all wanted from Donald Trump was peace, not war. And one of the principal reasons I pushed him so hard for a year and wrote Trump's War, and I look at the book. All over the book, I said he's a man of peace. And one thing is sure, he's not going to lead us to war. One thing is sure, he's not going to go to war with Russia. One thing is sure, he's going to tamp down the potential for war with Russia. I was wrong. Maybe I was right at the time. But I'm looking back now and I say, maybe it's not about me at all. Somebody changed the president. So, Trump's war. If you were passing this book in a bookstore today, I mean, after the missile launch, what would you think? What would you think of that? You're walking through Barnes & Noble. You're at an airport. And you see this smiling guy with that hat on with the American flag around him. Trump's War is Battle for America by Michael Savage. What does the title say to you today that it didn't say to you a week ago? Am I talking about him? Am I glorifying his war making? What am I talking about? It's an interesting question. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We've been talking in great detail about the absurdity of Donald Trump's missile attack last week on Syria. And I want to reiterate that I'm his greatest supporter, and I still am. And because I am loyal to Donald Trump, that is why I am criticizing what he did last week. It's not because I oppose him. It's because I support him. And by exposing what was done as for the foolishness that it was and the very dangerous foolishness that it was, perhaps it will reach Donald Trump and he will think twice about the people who are whispering in his ear, whether they be within his inner circle or from the outer circle. I just got a poll from Gallup. U.S. support for Syria strikes rates low in historical context. You're not alone. I'll bet you feel that you're alone because so many neocons are screaming what a great thing it is, right? The neocons are the ones who were odd man out. Because Americans' opinions of U.S. military missile strikes in Syria, according to Gallup, is a 50% approval and a 41% disapproval. You say, well, that means more approved than disapproved. But 10 other military actions assessed since 1983 had majority support. And the military strikes against Syria is historically low compared with reactions to previous U.S. military actions. 50% of Americans approve of the missile airstrikes, 41% disapprove. What's even more interesting is that if you break it down, you know, I don't like to do these, but we'll do it. Republicans tremendously support this because they go along with what the party tells them to think. 82% of Republicans support the missile strikes. I suggest to these Republicans that they enlist or send their own sons and daughters to die for an old man's war. When I worked for a year to elect Donald Trump, I didn't vote for General McMasters. When I worked for a year straight to elect Donald Trump, I didn't work for Jared Kushner. I worked for Donald Trump. I thought he was the master of the deal, the art of the deal, not the art of the Tomahawk missile. My big concern is this. You go to war as a last resort, not as a first resort. And if you're too dumb to know how to do it through negotiation, then you shouldn't be in that position. It's that simple. You're supposed to be able to negotiate through these things, not kill, in the name of peace. I couldn't be any more clear. And I want to say something again today that I said on Friday, if you think I'm doing this for effect. It is not in my self-interest to take this position. I will not earn one extra listener. I will not earn one extra advertiser. I will not get one rating point. All I'm going to do is lose any favor I may have had with this administration. So you say, well, why are you so stupid as to do this? Why are you alienating the president and his surrounding individuals? I'll say to you what I said on Friday. It's very simple. There's no reason for talk radio other than to try to get the truth out there. I know many of you don't believe it, but some of us actually do. In a world filled with such garbage and such lies and such cacophony of lies day and night, it's very difficult to remember where the truth lies. But I never forgot where the truth lies because there's a way to arrive at the truth. It's not like I know the truth and you don't. If you use common sense and logic, you can usually come to the truth. What was the self-interest for Assad to gas his own people when he was winning the war? The answer was there was none. Why would Putin advise him to do it when Putin was helping him beat ISIS? Putin wouldn't have advised him to do it. Therefore, logic would dictate that Assad did not gas his own people. It was done by those within the corridors of power who have their own interests at mind, namely the generals, whose power derives from war, not peace. We've gone from America First to what? Is this still America First? Is this what we elected him for? This is what I worked for a year and a half for, to have Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton take over our foreign policy.
Savage.